When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're damn right. How do we follow that?
I guess
we'll do our best over the next 4 hours in the loop. Sports Radio 610. You heard it, man. You got John Lopez. You got Figgy Fig. You have myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you. And the postseason starts now. Let us know what you think when it comes to these Astros facing off against the Tigers. That'll be get going at 1:32 exactly.
32. Don't forget the two.
Don't forget the extra 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you will be sorely disappointed tuning in at 1:30 that there has not been a pitch thrown. But yeah, let us know what you're thinking. The YouTube's going. The Twitch is going. Those are both available to you. YouTube is Sports Radio 610. Twitch is 610 Houston. And of course, the text line always available to you. 713-572-4610. Lopez has his hands in the air like a good schoolboy. And so I will call on him. Lopez, what do you got for me?
Chandler Rome, 39 seconds ago. Justin Verlander did not make the Astros wild card series roster.
Okay, so we have some news.
Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. Is it possible that we may have seen the final efforts of Justin Verlander for these Astros? That's another thing that comes up. But like with all of this, there's various things. We got a postseason roster being unveiled. We got the lineup for this game, as Sean Pendergast gave to you just minutes ago. We'll circle back to that again. But first of all, like, I just want to say that I'm doubling down. And honestly, now with the lineup that we have, and knowing that Yordan Alvarez will DH, hit second for your Astros, which obviously means he is available for postseason play and will probably do that all the way through. I'm tripling down, in fact, on my lack of fear for the Tigers in this series.
I want to hear more because I think this is going to be a terrific series. I think today's game is clearly pivotal, and I'm not going to say, if you lose, you're out, but just a pivotal
game. It's a must win.
How I feel about
some
that.
Baseball game. That's in the honestly, the whole postseason determined by the game that happens at 1:32.
I don't know about that.
Really?
That's in the same neighborhood as it is what it is when people say must win and there are more games to be played.
Mm-hmm.
But enormous factor in this series is Yordan being on the roster and in the lineup. They said it was 50-50 yesterday, so that's big. No Verlander, not entirely unexpected.
You're right.
By any stretch. But today, I mean, lefty versus lefty. And if you want to get into like the weeds a little bit, I do find it interesting that they go lefty-lefty at the number two and three spots against a really good left-handed pitcher.
Yeah, but I mean, that's going to be tough. It is going to be tough.
Now, Yordan hits him okay.
Yeah.
Actually, Kyle Tucker hits him good too, but still lefty-lefty.
But yeah, Tarek Skubal is the man. Mm-hmm. That is the man that they are throwing out there for the Tigers. In fact, that's the only real starter that you're going to see. They're going to probably go with what AJ Hinch has described as chaos.
Yeah.
After you get Tarek Skubal today. But Skubal, best ERA in the AL. But I mean, the Tigers come in and they're hot, right? Like, that is the way that they made their run into the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
It's been mentioned multiple times that this was a seller at the deadline, and somehow
Like
that they have gotten themselves here. But even just looking at September, right, this month in which they were hot in order to get themselves to this place, the Tigers, while fourth in ERA, like, that pitching is great. The bullpen is indeed great. Second in WHIP. So don't expect them to give you bases, right? All of those things. They don't strike out guys a whole bunch, right? 26th in strikeouts in September. And then also offensively, there's just the numbers are not in such a place where I am afraid of them. If you're looking at, okay, the pitching is going to be real tough.
Mm-hmm.
This Astros team and a lineup, particularly with Yordan Alvarez, who, as you mentioned, right, he hits pretty much everybody.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he is an equal opportunity masher, right? Whatever you throw, whoever you throw, whichever side of the rubber you are throwing for, he has some for you with that bat and in a big way. I think that this lines up well against the Houston Astros team that offensively can do some for you, and you have your own lefty going in Framber Valdez, who will take a like large advantage of a Tigers lineup that doesn't scare you. They got two guys, one of whom is Riley Green. Both of their guys are lefties, like when it comes to at the plate. And they kind of have a tough time against lefties. Well, you got a lefty of your own, a Fromber, going today. And so I think that that gives you an opportunity to neutralize some of the effect. And I say that, I don't say that lightly. Like, Fromber Valdez had the third best ERA in the AL this season, right? I think that Tarik Skubal, a fantastic pitching prospect. But I think if you put all of those things together, I think that it allows you to neutralize some of the effect of having a bona fide ace on the other side going against you. And ultimately, if you're neutralizing this and you just go Astros, Tigers without any level of like multiplier on one side, I'm going Astros.
I'm going Astros. I just feel like this is going to be a fun game today, and it's going to be a very important game. And I think what you said about the offense, obviously we've seen this offense do things, you know, against aces multiple times. So you're right.
They did against Skubal last time.
Yeah, they did. The Astros, I think, won 2 out of 3 in both series against the Tigers this year, including a win over Skubal. But here's where it gets interesting for me, because as clutch as Fromber has been in the postseason, and he has been, he's had 12 starts in the postseason, 3.8 ERA. He's had his bad moments, but he's been good. This is the first time that he is the unquestioned named ace. They've never gone into a postseason with Fromber Valdez as he's our ace.
Yeah.
And Figgy, how many times we've been asking over the last couple of years, is he an ace? And I've said, if you're still asking after two years, then he's probably not. But you know what? This is a day when he can change that narrative. He's acted like an ace before, but he's never been. That's our guy. That's our game one. And he's going against their guy. And let's see what he does. That Fromber is as big a part of the story as anybody on offense. Right.
Absolutely.
Now.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to have to hold up his end of the bargain here, clearly, right?
Yeah.
It has to be a solid outing from him. You expect a solid outing the other side. And especially knowing the arms that they have all the way through this, right? Mm-hmm. Not just with the starter, but then knowing that they're going to bring some good arms out of the pen.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough. So he definitely has to produce, but he's more than capable of doing that. And while he has not had that title and necessarily the fullness of that responsibility, he's shown you the capability of handling that more often than I think capable of handling it, in fact. All right, so we do have the fullness of the lineup here. One of the interesting things that pops up is that Chaz McCormick is indeed one of your outfielders in the course of this. Obviously, Yordan is one of those guys, but I think he DHs the whole time. And so the other four outfielders, clearly Jake Myers, Kyle Tucker, Chaz McCormick, and Jason Hayward. And I did find it interesting that we're getting Mauricio Dubon in left field today. I thought, like, in my mind, and maybe this was just a lot of recency bias, in fact, seeing Jason Hayward handle that left field spot pretty nicely, especially in the absence of Yordan late, started getting me to this place where I was like, hey, maybe Jason Hayward is that guy that you lean on, especially with experience being one of those words that pops up in postseason play. I was like, maybe Jason Hayward gets that opportunity, and I think that he will factor in. Don't get me wrong. But Mauricio Dubon, again, being the guy that this team leans on and feels confident in, he'll step in left field, and he'll utilize his bat as well.
I think they love what Hayward has done, but they trust Dubon more.
Yeah, that's probably the word.
And the trust is there. The other thing that's interesting about the roster, which has just been released, they're carrying 15 position players and 11 pitchers on the wild card roster. And, of course, that is a product of Yordan Alvarez. He will not do anything but DH. I promise you that. He will not slide unless absolutely necessary. I can promise you that. And so it gives Espada some room, some wiggle room to manipulate some of the guys in situational baseball settings. And so, they're carrying, I think, one more position player than I would have expected. But that's a product of basically Yordan. And one more thing on Fromber that I meant to say earlier, and I think it's as key as anything. One of the other things that every Astros fan knows is a part of the Fromber experience is how is he going to be mentally in a given game. He's had moments where the pressure seems to kind of get to him and he gets rattled. And so now that he's the named ace and he's the game one starter, how is that going to play out? Is he going to be postseason Fromber that really has been tough and has been largely, you know, a big success? Or are we going to see hints of that? And frankly, Reggie, I think we're going to know in the first three innings, because sure. because not only if he gives up runs and such, but fly balls versus ground outs. He is a ground ball pitcher. And when he gets rattled and he gets a little bit off his game, he tends to get the ball up a little bit. And there's fly ball outs or long fly balls, heaven forbid, et cetera. But we're going to find out, is Fromber in the mental space that he needs to be?
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Well, I mean, Joe Espada in his availability yesterday talked about that specific thing, Fromber and his mentals.
Huge. I've been here since the first day he got to the big leagues. Maturity. He knows his role. I think he knows that there's also a lot of, you know, guys in there that look up to him. So be more of a role model that's a leader on the mound. And he's done that. I think he also knows what to expect. When he has the ball in big game, how he's the ability to set the tone, and the way he goes about it has a lot to do with our performance for the next game. You know, if he can take us deep in the game, he takes pride on that. I seen this young kid that got up here to the big leagues a long time ago, really mature both personally and on the mound.
Let's hope. That's as big a part of today's game as anything. Are we going to see that Fromber?
Yeah, and that's the level of belief that they clearly have in him. So being your first guy up, right? He is the first guy on the rubber for the Astros when they step into the postseason, which will get going at 1:32 today during the course of our show. I'm so excited to have baseball on, and postseason baseball, there's not much like it, so I'm excited for that. But within the course of that, right, and looking at the roster as we now see it, do you see some names that could, if for you, exist as, and you know we have to do it as postseason, X factors,
right? Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I've got some X factors for you, man. You want X factors? I got X factors. And not all of them necessarily are on in the roster, but obviously Yusei Kikuchi to me, and for the Tigers, how do you say Yusei Kikuchi in Spanish? Keeter Montero.
I was like, where are we going here? Because I don't understand if there's a translation to a name like this.
Because Montero, by the way, you mentioned that, what did AJ Hinch say? It was chaos after that?
Yeah.
I think his nose is growing. I think he's going to pitch Montero in game two and try to get a good solid 5-6 innings out of him. Montero has been to the Tigers exactly what Kikuchi has been to the Astros. He came in July. He's 24. You know, they didn't know what to expect. Had a good run in AAA, which got him the call up way back. And then all of a sudden, he's 4-1 with a 3.8 ERA since August 11th. Like, he has been their Kikuchi. So I think he's going to start game two. We'll probably hear about it here in a little bit, because I think AJ Hinch was playing a little game there. Now if he doesn't go 5 or 6, I think then all of a sudden it will be chaos for the Tigers bullpen, but it's been very good. But I think Yusei Kikuchi and Keeter Montero for the Tigers.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I'm inclined to take them at their word in that regard because of how strong their pen is. But no, I think that's fair. Like, if you can get as decent of an outing as you, like, he might go in with the idea of he is a opener, but if he gets in there and he gets rolling, that's a good thing.
He's had 3 shutouts since August 11th. Like, shutout outings.
Yeah, good.
Like,
no, that's good
pulled
form.
Pulled in the 6th inning or whatever.
No, that's good. That's good form to be going with into this. But for your Astros, it feels like it's going to be the big dogs that make things happen. I think that Dubon already, that's the easy answer for X factor, and he's already showing like why he's useful, and it's nothing that's novel if you followed the Astros even remotely. It's because he's so damn versatile, and he steps in and he does anything you need him to at a sufficient level, if not better, right? Like, one of the things that comes up is Going and looking at Jason Hayward's stats, and by the way, before I even give you the stats, stat head or whatever is going to have to see me, because why can't I see the splits on Baseball Reference? Why can't I? Right? Like, this is an incredibly robust statistics repository, and yet and still, if I want to see if somebody did better against lefties versus righties, they're like, nah, you got to pay for that. Yeah. Absolutely not. I will not do such a thing. But Jason Hayward against lefties.
I like that one.
Against lefties, I guess over the course of the season, I do need to break down those splits further and see what it's been like in the more recent past here. But sub 200 batting average. And so I get it, right? Even though Dubon, I think, is like 240, that's significantly better in that instance. But yeah, the idea that Dubon can step in with his bat, but then also defensively, you don't feel a drop off. I think that matters a good amount.
And then my other X factor is the most obvious one, but it's a big one, and that's AJ Hinch. AJ Hinch has been in so many postseason scenarios. He talked about that yesterday too, trying to compliment Joe Espada, but in the course of that, did say, boy, it's a whole different world. You know, it's a whole different world when you get in the postseason. And AJ Hinch knows this squad so well. He knows some of the holes in the approaches of Altuve and Bregman, even. He knows where the defensive liabilities are, where the soft outs are, how the Astros generally make every approach to the game. AJ Hinch, you know, I don't see how anybody can say anything else, but he is the biggest X factor in this series.
Well, I was about to go with the other manager, right? Like, it's again, another potential cop-out when we start talking about, well, the manager's going to affect this. But
yeah,
Joe Espada is coming in, and this is his first postseason. In fact, he talked about that yesterday.
So, you know, talk about, you know, tomorrow's going to be an emotional day for everyone, you know, and you asked me personally for my personal as a manager, first year manager postseason, and it will be. But for me, it's more about, you know, faith in God, faith in my group, players. I will lean on the players. I'll lean on the coaches just the same way I've done all season. And, you know, this team is going to be ready to play. I'm going to be ready to do my job. And this is a team that when postseason comes around, they know what it takes to win. So that helps me sleep at night.
I'm super interested in what role Espada plays in this, because he has not been without criticism, right? Like that, and he's gotten some level of credit after the Astros officially, you know, clinched the AL West division championship. But I know some people are still a little skeptical of those situations, and he mentioned the emotions on top of that can complicate things. Seems like I'm going to lean on the people that have been here, which is the players and the coaches around me. But it'll be interesting to see when those big moments come up where you as a manager have to make a decision that ultimately has a chance to swing things, how steady he is and what the decisions are that he makes. And we're all going to play the results. We know this about this, but I'm very intrigued to see how he handles those moments, because that's going to matter.
And I think it's going to matter in such a way that even today, you know, in every game, but even today, there are things that you can, you know, depending on how it goes and how his defensive replacements go, that he's going to be asked about and maybe questioned about. I mean, Chaz McCormick made this roster.
Yeah. Chaz McCormick, who they sent down to Sugarland not too long ago to get himself back right.
Yeah. And you mentioned Hayward. I mean, I think they trust Dubon more. Hayward has been hot. Like, there are already things that you can see even before they throw the first pitch where you're like, all right, that's got to be a big Espada call right there. Let's see how it plays out.
Yeah. So, look, 132, we get into the fullness of postseason baseball, where Astros take on Tigers at Minute Maid Park. It is Framber Valdez. It is Tarek Skubal. It is going to be a delight to get going, and I can't wait, man. Playoff baseball.
It's the best.
It really is the best. We're off and running in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, on a Texans Ticket Tuesday, mind you, I should get into that.
Oh, yeah.
I think I might have softened my big picture stance with the Texans after D'Amico talked yesterday. I'll tell you why next.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready, because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio Radio 60.
Oh, yeah. In the loop. Sports Radio 610 with John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atatula, and excited for an AL Wild Card Tuesday, a Texans Ticket Tuesday, and just an overall great time in H-Time to be alive. Man, super excited for what's happening here today on the program. We should have a fun one. I'm already looking at it. It's also B-Scott Tuesday.
It is a B-Scott
if you needed a cherry on top. So we will have B-Scott in during the 11 o'clock hour. We will give away some tickets to a huge matchup between the Texans and the Bills on Sunday. And so if you need an opportunity to get into that building, we will hold it down for you. And then, of course, you'll have another opportunity during the drive. But all you got to do is keep it locked here. Just keep it locked here. We told you earlier that the Astros will indeed have Yordan Alvarez in this series against the Tigers, rather. And then, of course, Justin Verlander not on the roster here. So that is an interesting thing to see. But it made sense. Like, we had seen him not play necessarily as well as you needed to be. Yeah.
I mean, just reading between the lines of what he was saying, he knew it. And by the way, you're going to hear from Joe Espada in a little bit. He's speaking before the game today, and we will have that for you. But among the things that we can certainly tell you that they're talking about over there, that Justin Verlander handled the news, the conversation of like a pro. Like I said, he kind of knew that it was going on. And then the other thing that is obvious, you know, but certainly worth noting, Yordan Alvarez will not take the field whatsoever.
DHing
in this series. Yeah.
In fact, real quick run through the lineup: Altuve batting first and at second base, Alvarez second at DH, Kyle Tucker right field batting third. Alex Bregman, third base, batting fourth. Yainer Diaz, catching fifth. Jeremy Pena at shortstop. And then Caratini, who's playing first base today. And then Dubon at left field. And Jake Myers in center field. And, of course, Framber Valdez going for your Astros. So this is going to be very interesting to see. But I did mention the idea that I was listening to D'Amico Ryans yesterday here on Sports Radio 610 talking about or just talking in general after a big 24-20 victory against the Jaguars, I guess Monday, the day after. And there was something that he said that allowed me to take what has generally been my wide, big picture view of the Texans and saying that, hey, man, they won, but they didn't play well enough to be the contender that they're supposed to
be. So you're feeling better.
I am feeling a little bit better, and it's because of here, Fig 13 here, what D'Amico Ryans said when he was asked about how he would assess the first quarter of this season.
For the first quarter of the season, we are where we should be. We're 3-1, and we still have a lot to improve upon. And I'm excited with where we are. We're getting better in certain facets of our game. We're getting better, and that's always the goal of the season. Is can your team continue to progress and get better as the season goes forward? We're not a finished product right now, and we still have a long ways to go to becoming a really good football team. That's us handling all the details, all the small things, and being on it, and that's when we'll become better.
And with this, like, within that, I'll ask you a question before I lay all this out for myself. Mm-hmm. Did it seem like D'Amico said anything that he hasn't expressed before?
Yeah. The one thing that he hasn't expressed before is we're getting better. I don't think we've heard that this year. But he continues, as we noted this yesterday, continues to go back to the theme that we all are sort of wringing our hands over, and that is the mistakes, you know, making sure we get these things corrected. But he said we're getting better. Now, obviously, he's on the film, you know, and he's on the field, and he knows what that is. I would be interested to get more specifics on that.
Right. And that was the thing for me is I kind of, once I had my moment, I was like, I don't think that D'Amico said anything that was too far away from. He's talked about the idea, hey, we need to do these things right. We need to get the details together. If the Texans don't beat the Texans, we have an opportunity and all these types of things. But sometimes you just need to hear it a particular type of way. And the acknowledgement from D'Amico that we are not playing like the team that we believe ourselves to be and that we need to be in order to be that contender. Like, he basically acknowledged that pretty as clearly as I would imagine a coach would. It's kind of set me at ease, like, oh, yeah, that's right. Through a quarter of the season, you're not a finished product, right? Yeah. And there's still opportunities to get better. And with that being the case, like, thankfully, as we've mentioned, the the final drive of the game and various different points, seeing the explosive plays that you get, seeing the goal line stand from your defense. It's like you've seen a little bit here and there that of the possibility, the proof of concept that this is where it could get.
Yeah.
And I think there was a little bit of comfort for me in the fact that they acknowledged it tacitly, like, hey, we know that this isn't where we need to get, but we are pushing to that place so that when we get to that point, when it gets to that time of year, we will be ready. And now it still needs to be done, but I appreciated him saying it out loud.
Well, here's where you can back up D'Amico's words there. And I don't know if, we're getting better is right as much as we'll get better. And this is what I mean by that. Where were the Chiefs after 4 weeks last year? You know,
buddy, they looked like they were in deep in the gulag.
Yeah. And that was a team that had a very established and proven coach, a very established and proven quarterback, tight end, obviously, with Travis Kelce. Defense was already established, and they were getting better, but they hadn't shown that they were getting better.
They duct taped it together that year, yeah. Right? The defense was a carrying factor. That offense just got duct taped together.
Yeah.
Last season.
And they had experience. They had veterans. They had pelts on the wall, from a lot of players. So this is where I could get in line with what you're saying and what D'Amico said there. This team has a second-year head coach, a second-year offensive coordinator, a first-year receiver in Stephon Diggs, a first-year running back in Joe Mixon.
Well, first year here, at least.
Yeah, first year in the organization. A first year, really big part of the defense. If you go across the front line, in one end, a tackle that's not even playing, a new defensive tackle in Fadakasi, Jalen Petrie at the nickel, never been there before. A rookie, a cornerback, and a rookie safety.
Yeah.
So if you're going to say we're going to
get better. Do we mention the middle linebacker?
And middle linebacker.
Aziz Alshire.
And new middle linebacker. So if you're saying, look, we're 3-1, I'm not so much down with we're showing that we're getting better as much as I have confidence that we're going to get better. And the Chiefs, with a much more established sort of baseline last year, did it. So it's clear the Texans, as these guys kind of get their feet under them, could do it.
Yeah, and shout out to Derwin on the text line. Said when you're not playing to your potential and you've only lost one without your running back, you good. And I hear you on that. I'm not going all the way there because it's the type of issues that they're dealing with, because it feels like a lot of them are ones that are relatively easy, or it's the offensive line where I do wonder what ultimately is the thing, the output that you can expect eventually, even if they are all firing on all cylinders. What is the max output for that offensive line? Those are questions that I'm still kind of batting around. But like, I think the tacit acknowledgement that if D'Amico Ryan sets it in front of himself that he's not delusional, which I don't think anybody thought he was, but hearing it explicitly and knowing the way that D'Amico Ryan drives his team and the way that he can generate focus with his team, I think it gave me a little bit of ease.
Rest assured, I'm talking about in the macro sense. Like, all these new guys, they're going to get better. And I'm confident because we're 3-1, despite them not showing that yet. Trust me, there are some big ifs that can derail it. Like, if the line doesn't get better with some of their mental errors and physical errors, then doesn't matter what he says. Because if the line continues to be a problem, it's going to be a problem. If the secondary continues to let, free runners behind them, I don't care. I don't care how much, these guys are gaining experience and gaining a comfort level in this organization with this team. It ain't going to get better. I'm just saying, like, in a big picture, I see where he's going.
Yeah, and that was the thing, is the big picture of it brought me back to also the idea that week after week, you need to find a way to win games, right? And I think that has been the expression, right? Like, a win is a win. But along the way, while you're winning games, work on getting better. And I think that you have seen a level of progression in some ways, even though I think the starting point is lower than we wanted. Is absolutely lower than expected, right? Like, that is the thing that we can absolutely say. The way that they started, the immense number of penalties, the types of issues, the ones that are like pre-snap that don't give you any level of benefit. It's not like you're inflicting your will upon other teams. The lack of finishing at times, like those types of things, the mental lapses, those are the ones that are really frustrating when it feels like that is the bar that you are starting at. But you are seeing progress, and I think you saw some of that in the Jags game. There was moments that represented progress on the way to having 3-1. I think you pair those things together, and I feel a little bit better on being as not as skeptical as I've felt like I've been thus far.
Yeah, I hear you.
Now, I do want to go to D'Amico on the coach's show because you set this up. You had an interest in when he was talking about the offense kind of moving the ball.
Look, he was on the, you know, obviously he had, availability with the media. But on the coach's show, I felt like he was really more, and he tends to be a little more candid sometimes. A little more candid about exactly what we're talking
and
about.
And that's a credit to Vandermeer and Harris
sure.
as well.
Comfort level, all that.
That's what I show the guys. Like, it's not a matter of not being able to move the football. Like, we can move the football. We move it in those 2 minute drives and situation. Like, but let's continue to, we're explosive offense, but when we get out of our own way, whether it's penalties or it's guys not executing the call the right way, like when we clean those things up, like we can be a very explosive offense, and they've shown that. Now, we don't like all the three and outs and the punts there in the second half, but like you said, whatever it took, like it took a 2 minute drive at the end of the game to win it. Like, okay, we're able to do that. Now let's clean up all the other stuff. Yeah, so in games like this, if we don't have to be in these situations, let's not make ourselves have to come back in these type of drives.
Not to oversimplify it, but there are other issues, and we're going to get to them today in terms of like confident level and on some of these things. But if they do just clean up that one thing, just that one thing on the offensive line, and there's not the holding penalties and there's not the pre-snap penalties and then there's not guys downfield, you got the quarterback that can give you a buffer, you know, even if you are making mistakes and aren't as good in other areas.
Yeah, but as mentioned on the 8-3-2, and it's the thing that we've harped on, those challenges are right around the corner, and it begins on Sunday versus the Bills. Like, it needs to be getting cleaned up. In an expedited pace, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You are moving forward, but it needs to be moving forward faster. Otherwise, you're going to have some disappointments soon. But they are getting better, and I do need to acknowledge that in the course of this. It's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Thanks for hanging out with us. Coming up next, let's do the question of the day, inspired by maybe the end of the Texans game, maybe a Monday Night Football game. There's a lot of things that have happened in our growing world of gambling and sports. What's your worst bad beat in sports or maybe in life? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. If you have not heard yet, first of all, it's an Astros AL wild card game.
Oh, that's today?
Yeah, if you have not heard.
What time is it? 1:30?
1:32 now.
Get it right.
You probably should be there a little early. Yeah. This game is on ABC, letting you know. So that is where this is going to pop up. And Yordan Alvarez, DHing. And batting second, which means he did indeed make the roster. Justin Verlander did not. Not too unexpected. Let's get into the question of the day. This is inspired by a few things. What's your worst bad beat in sports or in life? 713-572-4610. I got one for either of
those. What's your worst bad beat? Now, obviously, I thought, we actually talked about this yesterday. And I thought we were going to play it off of the end of the Texans game.
In fact, we had two situations.
Yeah.
Monday Night Football had a similar thing. Well, although one of those was the safety.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, the Texans, it felt like they should have covered at the end of that game versus the Jaguars because I thought that they had a safety.
Yeah.
In that one. And they ultimately decided, no, that he had somehow
forward progress. Though he got away and tried to run.
Yeah, once you try and run, that forward progress is erased and negated, and you are in the paint, my boy.
They got the call from Vegas.
Yeah. I guess so.
It's a fix. The fix is in.
All right. I don't want to encourage this foolishness.
We got to make sure that's not a safety.
Yeah. And so one of these games on Monday night, we had a safety that wasn't, and then it was. Well, it was, and then it was, and then it was again. But then in the other one, the game with the Titans, where the Titans, I guess Mason Rudolph is just going to be the quarterback of the Titans now. We'll talk about that more later. But there was a backdoor cover in that, which I definitely didn't see because I got away from that game as soon as I realized what the end result was going to be.
Yeah, the over-under was 37.5. And with less than, 2.5 minutes left, they were up like 8 or 9. I mean, it was under by 8 or 9. Well, then they get a safety. Then there's this bedlam on the ensuing intentional onside kick. Lo and behold, the Titans have the ball on the 10-yard line.
Kill playing fullback, and they hand it off to Pollard. He's trying to bounce it to the edge. Pollard going for the pylon, diving, signal, touchdown.
What a wave.
Tennessee.
A wave of emotion.
That wave of emotion is not about the game.
Yeah, I was like, what's the emotion there, buddy? It was 30 damn seconds left.
30 seconds left, and they get 9 points and go over. And the internet, of course, naturally went berserk. But it got me to thinking about what's not even sports, because my bad beat, my all-time bad beat is not sports. So what's your worst bad beat in sports or life? You haven't heard this story yet.
No, I have not.
The year was 1991.
Okay.
So I'm covering my first Masters in Augusta, Georgia, all right? And there's this writer from the East Coast, I believe at the time he worked in New Jersey, that was really into investments. Like he'd made a lot of money on, you know, in stocks.
Okay.
And he was sitting next to me all week long telling me, man, there's this company down in Austin I really like a lot. I put a little bit here, a little bit there. And I keep in mind, I'm still in my 20s. So I don't really.
You're like, get out of here, old man. You ain't thinking about that type of stuff right now.
But here's the thing. And Figgy, you know this part. I got a little chunk of money for a book that I contributed to, that I collaborated on. So I had like $5,000 just sitting around thinking, I'll just put in savings. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to trust him. I think I'm going to pull the trigger and put $3,000 or $4,000 in this stock. I didn't.
What'd you do with the money?
The stock was Dell.
Ah!
The stock was Dell.
That'd have been useful.
And I looked it up this morning, because we've always, every time we've had this conversation, I've always said, I wonder, I wonder, I wonder. Okay? So in 1991, Dell was selling at $17 a share. It had just really been public since the 1989, a couple of years before, whatever. So I'm covering the Masters. Ian Woosnam won that one, by the way. And in 1991, it was $17 a share. It has since split 11 times.
Oh boy.
So $3,000 or $4,000 at $17 a share, I would have had, you know, decent amount of stock. It has since split 11 times, and the stock price, today is off the charts even, but in the 90s, it went nuts. So I looked it up right now. Today it's trading at $113.71 after 11 splits. Okay.
Yeah, that's
$1.3 million.
Man,
well, $4,000 would have gotten me $1.3 million. Now, clearly, I always justify it this way.
You would have sold a long time ago.
I would have sold in 1995.
You'd have been like, we have ridden the wave.
I won $5,000. I earned $5. I'm out.
We came, we saw, we conquered. That
but had I kept it in from 1991, $1.3 million.
Damn, that's tough.
That's a bad beat.
How do I follow such a story?
Yeah, I'm about to say, what kind of computers are we on right now?
We are on Dell.
Yeah, you get to see that every day. You get to look up that and see.
Rude. Reminder.
That's tough. For me, I was trying to quantify what is a bad beat in life. So I have two things here. Y'all tell me if I'm on the right track here. One of them feels like everybody appreciates to some degree, and I'm usually pretty good about them, except in one circumstance, mm-hmm. In particular, and that is the trial that ultimately turns into the recurring charge, or just the recurring charge in general. I am currently fighting Google on this one in particular. There was a point in time where I needed a little extra storage space on the cloud. And so I paid for their cloud service, right? And like, all right, you pay for the year. All right, I can pay for that upright, no problem, up front, right? And every year I'm like, remember to cancel it when we get up to that time, because I don't need it no more.
Yeah.
What am I going to use a cloud storage for? And every year I get that notification, your account has been charged for the next year. And I'm like, damn it.
You get beat every year.
Damn it.
I do too. I got to tell you, I always buy the cloud space just because I don't want to lose anything.
But it's always like, man, I'm going to get in under the gun on before it charges my card. And I'm usually really good about all that. I cancel the trials. I set it, and I just Google keeps beating me. And I don't know why I have let them beat me like 3 years in a row and charge me for some cloud space I'm not using.
Yeah.
So that's one of them. Mm-hmm. The other one, I do wonder if this one works, because I was like, I was talking about this. I was on the train that in this past NBA playoffs, mm-hmm. that there were only two good teams in the East. That is the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers with Joel Embiid. And I was like, Joel Embiid, once he worked his way back from an in-season injury, people were like, I don't know if he's still. I'm like, nah, he makes his way back. He doesn't even have to be all the way healthy. If he's playing, that is one of the two good teams. They'll make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
And in game one of their first round series, while putting up, I think he had like 28 points, 29 points, in fact, actually. And he was 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and he goes up for a dunk.
Oh.
And comes down, and he is injured. On like an and one dunk where he throws it off the glass to himself. Yeah. And he comes down injured, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Right? Like, this dude had barely been back to basketball off of his injury for a few weeks, and he was just getting himself, and he wasn't even like fully himself and was already hooping. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm about to be right as hell, man. It's about to be great. And then because he just, not because necessarily, but it felt like because he decided to try and be and one escalator or something, or the air up there, or one of these guys, threw it off the glass, tried to dunk, it came down, and now he's hurt, and then he misses the rest of the playoffs, and clearly the Sixers did not win in that situation. I was like, man, I was this close. I felt like I was this close to being right on that. No, you were
not. You want to be right.
All right, so my bad break. This is a bad break in life because I've been doing my podcast for a long time, and it was, I want to say it was 2019, and we had Carl Crawford up here, and a lot of people know Carl Crawford as the baseball player, but he's like this hip-hop mogul now who have his own record label and all that stuff. And we had him on the podcast, and we was up here with ESG chatting it up and all that stuff. And he brung up this artist he had named Megan Thee Stallion.
Get out.
So I'm like, look, me being me, I had no idea who that was. And he mentioned, like, yeah, we can bring it up here. I'm like, all right, cool. Just kind of brushed it off a little bit.
Yeah.
Didn't realize this was Megan Thee Stallion. I could have had her on the podcast, man. And I just totally blew it off. It wasn't until months later where I'm like,
she blew up.
Yeah, I'm like, oh,
so she hadn't really blown up.
Nah, she haven't blown up at all. Yeah. She was, people knew her on the internet for like freestyling outside of a car and all that stuff. But nah, she was nowhere near this big yet. And I was just like, dog it, I could have had her up here in this studio.
And I thought you were going to take that maybe to another level where it was like, could have gotten a number or something, like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, I would have had her on even if I thought she sucked.
But just, see,
just because of what she looked like.
That's crazy.
I had no idea who she was.
Right.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking, like, all right, Carl trying to do this record label thing, and he got these artists.
He's trying to promote some.
These independent artists, and like, everybody got that. Yeah, but I'm like, dang, I missed it. Yeah, I missed the opportunity. I even sat there. I was talking to T. Ferris was up here, too.
Yeah.
Talking to him. Man, he was just like, yeah, everything cool. I was so focused on Paul Wall.
Yeah.
I was up here trying to get Paul. I should have been focused on Megan Thee Stallion. But by that time I realized how big she was going to be, it was too late, man. Like, she ain't about to come up here now.
You could have been in her posse right now, man.
I know.
In her circle.
The other thing is, back to my podcast, I had the chance to have Crazy Bone from Bone Thugs.
Yeah.
And I kind of screwed up because I didn't realize he was living in L.A. So
bad timing? Time zone?
Time zone got me, man. Oh. I'm thinking like, all right, he going to hop on 1 o'clock.
Too late.
So
too
early. I'm sitting there like, hey, where is he at? And everything just got totally messed up, missed the opportunity.
That's
man.
Tough.
Yeah.
Some coming in. There's some good ones here.
Yeah, the A32 is making me feel pretty good about my Dell thing. Said his uncle was one of the first 4 or 5 employees of Dell, but left to go to Hewlett Packard, which went bankrupt.
Oh,
man.
If you're one of the first 4 or 5, you're probably worth $100 million.
You are not actively working anymore. I'll tell you that for sure. Another A32 mentioned their junior season in high school basketball. They made the shot to send the game to playoff game to overtime. Then they got a high ankle sprain on the landing, so they couldn't play overtime, and then they lost.
Oh, that's a bad beat.
That is tough.
That is a bad beat.
And then there's another person who actually has a ticket. Bad beat. Rice basketball last year, +7.5 against North Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 10 seconds left, down 2 points. Rice missed the shot. Coach thought there was a foul there, and they fouled UNT. And then the coach got ejected. 2 techs.
Oh,
UNT made all 6 of those free throws.
Oh, no.
And they won by 8. They said they had a 14 parlay for $200, would have won $2,400.
On the coach, 2 techs, and all 4 made free throws?
Like, what are the chances? What are the chances that you have that kind of thing? And then, of course, Bitcoin. Shout out to
Bitcoin. Might have got it. Got a lot of people.
Yeah, it did.
Bitcoin. It just never made sense to me. So me I was like, neither. Why would I do that?
Yeah.
You're telling me I'm buying
what's
this
the
thing
FTCs
that doesn't exist?
And all this. What's the FPCs or whatever that is?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Even if it is.
Oh, NFCs.
Is
exactly
what it is. NFCs yeah. and all that crap. could get down with it, man.
John is right. She's too fine not to interview.
Right.
Her.
What was your problem?
Let me be clear. I had no idea who she was. I didn't see her.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he just said I got the artist Megan Thee Stallion. I'm just like, oh, okay. I ain't think nothing of it. I wasn't hip to her. I did not. If I seen her, of course I would have been like, come up here now.
Right.
But I haven't seen her.
Actually, I'll come there wherever you are. Yeah. Don't even worry about it. Some bad beats on our question of the day on this Texas Ticket Tuesday. We will be giving out a pair of tickets to Texans Bills in the noon o'clock hour. But coming up next, we're heading into the 11 o'clock hour, and you know what that means. We have to talk to B. Scott. We'll start with talking around the NFL. Let's talk a little bit about that Monday night football game and what it might mean for the Texans. We do that next.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.